Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne, and normally we have Kendra in here too, saying, and I'm Kendra, but today she is out. She has her sweet baby with her today, and so she's not going to make this show, but I'm still so thankful that you're listening in today or watching in, however you're viewing this show. We are a show about infertility and miscarriage. We hope we can always be there for you as you are walking through growing your family or trying to grow your family, whatever that might look like for you. We can be there for you through Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, where you can view the show instead of just watching it. And you can always email us at hannahsheart@afa.net. We look forward to those communications in that way. As you can see, if you are watching this, I have a friend here today. Her name is Lynn. We actually go way, way back.
Yes, we actually do. Hey, I'm so glad to be here today. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. We've talked about this for a while, too.
Yes, we have. It has been a long time coming. I've always prayed about an opportunity to be able to share my story and for God just to receive the glory in such a tragic event in our lives, but then how He has made it so beautiful in time.
Yeah, I know. So we've known each other. Let's back up. We've known each other for a while, like since we were like teeny tiny kids. But then it's not like we have stayed close in that way. So until, if I'm remembering right, until we said something about struggling with infertility on Facebook, Will and I, that's when you reached out to me and you're like, hey, I just wanted you to know I've been there. You know, I'm praying for you. And I had no idea that you had walked through it. And that was honestly probably like 2018 or so.
That's right.
That I think that I ended up saying something on Facebook. And I kind of did it out of not a good heart sharing on Facebook because I was tired of people asking me when I was going to have a baby. So finally I was like, here's what we're doing. This is why we're not having a baby. But if you don't mind, let's back up a second and tell us just where you are in life right now. And then we'll get into your story and why you're here today.
Yeah, so my husband and I, we have lived on the Mississippi Gulf Coast for the last 5 years, but we recently relocated back to North Mississippi, where we're both originally from, and we have two precious boys that are 3 and 1.
So you're busy.
We are busy, and we're both teachers full-time, and he is a coach. So we stay very busy.
Yeah, y'all do. You were made to be a teacher. If there's anybody that was, I always say you have to be called to be a teacher because, like, I have always loved kids. Do I feel like I was called to be a teacher? No, I don't.
Yeah, it definitely is a calling, and I have felt called since the age of 5. So
wow.
I'm so glad to be, like, fulfilling what I felt was God's purpose and plan for me at such an early age.
Wow. So you and Austin, that's your hubby's name.
Correct.
Y'all, how long? Tell us like your dating story a little bit and then like maybe what you were thinking about kids before marriage, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So Austin and I met in 2013. I was a freshman in college and he was like 1 year post-grad. So because of our age difference, we never really met, even though we were from around the same area. And after we met, it was a very short courtship, as he would call it. He asked for permission to take me on the first date by my father. And it was just a very quick dating experience, and then we were engaged. And so after 7 months of engagement, we got married in 2014. And then we did discuss while we were dating on one of our first dates that we both wanted children and we both desired to have a family. And it's funny because we both sat down and said, we looked at each other on that date and said that we both wanted 3 children. And I think, I'm not really sure for the reasoning behind that. I think we both just, because we come from siblings of 3, that it just made sense for us. Yeah. And so that will kind of, that conversation will kind of play into some further conversations.
Okay. So that was before marriage. And then once you did get married, and I mean, what was like kind of your like love story, like your story of when you wanted to have children?
Right. So we got married in 2014 and I was finishing up college at Mississippi State. And as soon as I graduated, we moved to the Gulf Coast and for teaching opportunities. And after we really wanted to adapt to that new area, find new friends, find a church community before we started talking about having children. And so after a year of living down there and getting really comfortable with the area and our jobs, we decided to start trying to conceive. And so after the first month of me getting off birth control and us trying to conceive, it happened after that first month. And we were wow, that was really fast. Like, okay, God must really, you know, like God is really for us. He really wants this to happen right now. And we were perfectly okay with that. We were elated. And that was in the summer of 2017. So we were so excited. We didn't have a lot on our plate. We weren't very stressed out because it was summer break for us teachers. And we were just kind of keeping it quiet. But then after our first appointment, if you want me to go and go ahead and start the details of that. Mm-hmm. After our first appointment, we went to hear the heartbeat. I was measuring about 6 weeks along and there wasn't a heartbeat. And so they said, well, you know, you might be a little bit earlier than we're reading. So we'll have you come back next week. And so we were like, okay, they sounded really hopeful. We'll come back in a week. And so we were just, prayerfully waiting for that next appointment. And we went to the next appointment and they're like, oh, you're measuring 7 weeks, which is great. There's been growth, but we're still not seeing a heartbeat. And at that point, the look on the nurse's face was a little bit different. We could tell that there was something off about it. But we were still hopeful because they were still giving us hope that the baby was growing. And so after that, they were like, well, we're going to talk to your doctor and let you talk to the doctor. And so we did that. And after talking to the doctor, she was like, let's have you come back a week from now. Mm-hmm. And we were like, okay, here we go again. So that at that point, we called a lot of our, not a lot, I would say some of our close friends and family to let them know kind of, we were in the waiting of waiting for a heartbeat, waiting for a hopeful pregnancy, and just kind of the anxieties and fears that we were feeling in that moment. Because at that point, I remember driving away from that doctor's appointment, and our hope had significantly dropped for what was going to be a successful pregnancy. And so after that, we went back the next week and did another ultrasound, and they were like, I'm so sorry, but this is going to be considered a missed miscarriage. Like, your body's not reading the signs of a miscarriage, but everything is showing us that this is not going to work out. Like, you're not going to have a successful pregnancy because there is no heartbeat despite the baby growing. And so that was confusing and really hard. I think the most shocking part of it was the how the doctor responded to us. She was very much, I felt, and Austin felt at the time, and our feelings, that she was cold-hearted. It was, I'm sorry that this has taken place. Take as much time as you need. I'm going to go. And she walked out, and we never saw her again.
Oh, my goodness.
I will say, before she left, she gave us our 3 options of what to do at that point. And it's probably the 3 options that most doctors give. You could have surgery to have it removed. You could take medication. Or you could just wait for your body's natural response to, have the baby. And so we just, sat there and wept. I don't really know how long. I can't even imagine what that time period was. It felt like 30 minutes. It was probably only five that we were in there, just holding each other, trying to figure out what do we do next. The doctor just walked out and left us, and we don't know what to do.
Oh my goodness.
So after praying about it, we walked out and we left and said, we're going to wait on God's timing. You know, it was God's timing for us to get pregnant. It's going to be God's timing for this pregnancy to end.
Yeah.
And so we went home and we said it could take a week. It could take 2 weeks. It could take however long. But we're just going to wait for my body to naturally respond to this miscarriage.
Wow. So a missed miscarriage. I didn't realize that's what that was
called.
That's
the term they phrased it as.
Okay.
Yes.
So your body's not recognizing it, so it's technically growing, but there's still no
heartbeat. Right. There were no signs or symptoms at all that there was anything wrong or that I had any complications.
Did you ever feel pregnant?
You know, it's in hindsight, looking back, I tell people after experiencing my first full-term pregnancy that I didn't really have pregnancy symptoms as far as feeling pregnant.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it in the moment.
Because,
like,
right.
I think your adrenaline is so high. When you first find out you're pregnant, it can kind of, those emotions can be confused with pregnancy and then, like, anxiousness. And then the responses and results we kept getting, our emotions were on
being
a roller
tugged.
Coaster.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I don't know that I really felt pregnant with that first one. Looking back, I don't think I really did.
Yeah.
Because after being pregnant after that two more times, I was like, that was vastly different. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Which they do say are good signs. I remember with Jane, the nurse was like, so how do you feel? And I was like, oh, I feel sick. I'm so sick. I'm so tired. She's like, well, I hate to say it, but those
That's
are really good,
good
signs.
Yeah. Every time I felt
like,
nauseous
or
tired, I was like, okay, this is good. I'm, you know, everything's fine.
Right. So what did that look like for you and Austin? How did y'all handle that miscarriage differently? Did you handle it the same? What did that look like?
I think we handled it together, and that's the best way I can explain it, because we were down there alone without family.
Yeah.
We had really close friends that we taught with and went to church with, and honestly, those were some of the only people that really knew about it. And not that they were walking through it. We were kind of the first of our friend group to try to have a baby. And so we were definitely the first of our friends to walk through something like that. But there was one specific couple that we lived in the same apartment complex with, and they were there for us through it all. They were actually at our apartment celebrating Austin's birthday the night that I actually passed the baby. And so that was really traumatic. However, they continue to be there for us. And I think because they were there the night it happened, they saw the emotions we walked through, and they knew how important it was that they were there for us following. And so we landed, you know, at their apartment after that almost every night. They were cooking dinner for us. They were watching movies with us, because it was so hard to be alone in those moments. But at the same time, because we felt like we were the only ones walking through that, Austin and I really clung to one another and leaned on one another, because we kind of felt like it's us against everyone else, like us against the world kind of thing is what we would always say. Even though we knew that God was with us and was walking us through that,
right?
We just felt like it was the three of us, you know, Austin, myself, and God, because no one around us that we were close to had experienced it or walked through it before. And that was really hard, yet I'm so grateful that God gave Austin to me in that moment, and for, you know, just for us to walk through that together. I couldn't imagine walking through that with anyone else.
Yeah. It is such a lonely place to be. And then, we honestly have a lot of couples that will say, my husband doesn't understand. It doesn't even seem like he tries to understand, you know, what just happened. And so for you to say that y'all walked through it together, that is such a blessing, because sometimes that really doesn't seem to happen, you know. Mm-hmm. So what did life look like after that? So you've given yourself time to grieve, hopefully.
Right.
What is now, how do you feel now wanting to get pregnant again? Or do you want to get pregnant again?
Yeah, so after that happened, we went back to a doctor's appointment, made sure everything was clear, that my body had, you know, done it what it was supposed to. And she said, we saw the same doctor, and she was like, allow your body about 3 months to heal, and then you can start trying to conceive again if that's something you wish to do. And it was. I mean, if we could have started right away, we would have. We were just at a place where, okay, we've grieved this loss, but, like, we're ready to move forward. We want a baby so bad.
Right, it lets you see how bad you do.
Yes, we were eagerly waiting for a baby that it was kind of like at all costs. It didn't matter if my body was completely healed or ready or not, or even if we were emotionally healed. We were just, like, ready to move forward. And so after 3 months of waiting and, you know, allowing my body to heal, we started trying to conceive again. And it didn't happen after, I would say, about 6 months. And so we thought, well, this is a little odd, mm-hmm. considering we got pregnant so quickly, right. after the first time trying to conceive. Like, it took 1 month. Why is it taking so long now? And so after 6 months, I decided to find a new doctor. Mm-hmm. And started talking to her about everything we'd been through. And she was like, well, try 6 more months and then we'll start doing blood work and we'll start seeing what happens. You know, if you don't have a pregnancy by then we'll kind of talk about further steps. And so 6 more months went by, mm-hmm. and nothing
long
happened.
Months. Long,
six
long
very
months.
Long months. And it's like it went by fast because we were so busy with school and friends. But at the same time, every month that went by was very slow and very, just very hard. But then it was like we distracted ourselves a lot with going and doing. And because all of our friends were, you know, they were busy and going and doing. They weren't trying to slow down and have a baby. So we just kind of went along with them. So then after six more months of trying, we decided to see this new doctor, and she did some lab work, and the lab work came back that my progesterone levels were lower than they should be. They weren't extremely low, but she's like, I think that we could help this by trying some different medications if you're open to that. And I was like, sure. So she offered a pretty common medication called Clomid, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. for me to take, and that was like the most least invasive option at that point. So I was like, okay, there were some side effects, but nothing that sounded too scary, so I was willing to try it, especially after trying to conceive for almost a year and nothing happened. So the first month that I tried Clomid, I went back for blood work, and my progesterone levels had doubled. It was a great sign. She said the medicine was working and doing what it was supposed to, but then we didn't get pregnant. And so I was like, well, that's not right. You know, something must be wrong with Austin. Yeah. If it, you know, it's not me. And so I was trying to convince him to have some tests done, but we never did, and my doctor just encouraged me to try Clomid again. You can try it up to 3 months. So I was like, okay, round two, here we go. I took Clomid for the second month, and once again, my numbers were doubled what they should be, so it should be working. It should result in a positive pregnancy, but once again, it did not, and so that was really discouraging. Mm-hmm. At that point, I'm like, do we even try it again? But we continued. We were like, third time's a charm. And so I took Clomid for the third month. We knew this was our last month. We went into it. At this point, I think, on our hands and knees, begging God to give us a baby from this, because we knew that further steps after that would look very different.
Right.
We knew that it could cost more money. It could cost more time. It could cost our emotions.
Invasive.
Yes, much more invasive. And so we took Clomid for the third month, and we had actually planned a Disney World trip for his sister's senior trip that month. And so we packed up and we went to Disney World, and this is my first time to Disney World as an adult. Oh, wow. Like, first time ever, and I'm an adult. And it really is, I mean, it was as magical as people say it was. And so we went, and I knew that I was supposed to start my cycle that week, and so I packed all my toiletries with me that week, and we came home from Disney World, and it was on a Sunday evening, right before we were going back to school, returning from Thanksgiving break, and I was unpacking my suitcase, and I was like, I never started my cycle this week. That's odd. And it just didn't dawn on me because we were so busy, sun up to sundown at Disney World. And I just felt God calling me and nudging me to take a pregnancy test. I had one left in my bathroom cabinet. And so I was like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not setting myself up for disappointment because I've done that for months after months on end. And something about the Holy Spirit was nudging me to take it. And Austin was not home for some reason. I can't remember if he had something with soccer, but he was not there. And so I took the pregnancy test, and of course it was immediately positive. And I mean, just the emotions from that were all over the place. But most importantly, I was just in awe, weeping on the floor of my bathroom with a positive pregnancy test, thinking, God, how can this be? Like, you know, I was in question, but then I was just full of gratitude at the same time.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. That takes me back to memories of my first pregnancy test that was positive. And yet the feelings, you can't really describe them.
No.
After you've struggled with infertility, and you can't describe the fear of taking the test, but then the, you know, whenever it actually is positive, there's no describing that feeling.
No.
So then Austin gets home and...
Yes. So Austin gets home, and it was shortly after I had taken the pregnancy test, because he still finds me in the bathroom weeping. Like, I had not moved. I was literally in shock to the point of it was almost like I was numb. Like, I could not move to get up. I could not stop crying. I was just in shock. And so he found me, and I showed him the pregnancy test, and we both just held each other and wept again. And it's really incredible thinking back to where we found ourselves 15 months prior to in the bathroom floor, weeping from such a loss and such a tragedy, to finding ourselves in the same place, different house, different bathroom, but holding each other, weeping, praising God for such a blessing, and how his faithfulness came through in that moment. It's just incredible to look back on.
What did pregnancy look like after loss?
So pregnancy after loss was very scary. There were lots of moments of doubt and, you know, every day thinking, okay, am I still pregnant? Do I still feel nauseous? Do I still feel tired? All of those symptoms. And then as you begin to feel the baby move, you're constantly replaying that in your mind all day. Is the baby moving? Can I feel the baby? And fortunately, I had a very successful and healthy pregnancy with zero complications.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know. But it is very scary.
It is. It is. Lynn, you mentioned bringing your journal in today. Do you mind reading us some snippets from your journal that you kept during that time?
I don't. And I'll say I wrote, I journaled a lot during our infertility journey. I did not journal after the fact.
Same.
And I wish I would have.
But I literally journaled twice while I was pregnant with Jane, and I don't know why.
Journaling is such a great way to process pain. And so... I have several journal excerpts from that time, so I will read a part of it. And this was from about the 8th or 9th month of infertility when I was writing. I put, doubt is a heavy word. I feel like it's a word that I have deeply struggled with since our miscarriage in August. Doubting whether I'll get pregnant again, doubting if my body's okay and healthy, and all the doubts. But James 1:6 says, "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." Mm. And so looking back on that, just being so many years removed from that, it still impresses on my heart today that even though we walked through that and he showed his faithfulness through it, we're still going through hard seasons in life, and sure, we're not promised, you know, an easy life after we've overcome one challenge. Right. And so I think just reading back on that is such an encouragement to know that whatever season you're in, whether it's infertility or any other challenge, that we must not doubt him.
Right. Oh, man. Well, that is so true, Lynn. And I really appreciate you coming on today and telling us about that loss and then getting us a whole year of then desiring a baby and wondering if that's going to happen. I know that people struggle longer than a year sometimes, but if you've experienced infertility at all, you know that year feels like 1,000 when you're wanting that baby. And so I appreciate you coming on today and telling us about your sweet family now and what that journey looked like to get where you are today.
Yes, absolutely.